morning, everyone. It's time to read the Fort Dodge Messenger for Saturday, February 15, 2020. We're reading to you from our studio located at Friendship Haven in Fort Dodge. My name is Peggy and my partner at the microphone is Doug, and we're glad to have you listening. We'll start with a look at today's weather and headlines from the front page. First, Mid-Iowa towing leveled, fire destroys shop, office, two treated for injuries. Next, Eilers takes on higher duty. Fort Dodge judge sworn in to Iowa Court of Appeals. And special champions, students get to show off basketball skills. Today's weather forecast, you can expect mostly cloudy skies and a south-southwest wind of 9 to 13 miles an hour with a high of 37 and a low of 17. And now here's Doug with our first article.
Good morning, everyone. First article is by Chad Thompson about the Mid-Iowa towing. There was a fire there yesterday. What started as a glow that Danny Reese saw from the office window into the shop area at Mid-Iowa Towing quickly turned into a massive inferno that left her and her husband's business completely leveled Friday afternoon. No serious injuries were reported. I was in my office and saw a little bit of fire out the shop window, said Reese, who owns Mid-Iowa Towing with her husband Mike. I yelled for everyone to get out and everyone got out. It happened fast, real fast. Firefighters were called to the scene at 1:20 p.m. Heavy smoke and fire quickly overwhelmed the shop and eventually the office, which is connected. The business is located in Barnum's Fire District at 1914 Country Lane, west of Fort Dodge. Intermittent explosions could be heard as the fire grew, blowing debris several feet from the shop. As the fire spread to the office, piles of white paper blew out of the front door. The high wind gust blew the thick black smoke to the north and across busy Highway 7, impacting visibility for traffic. About 10 people were inside the building when the fire started, according to Reese. One of them was Matt Knowles of Fort Dodge. Knowles had bid on a vehicle on Thursday and was there to pay for it on Friday. I was finishing up the paperwork, getting ready to pay for the Chevrolet Blazer that I bought, Knowles recalled. All of a sudden, we could see glowing from the many blinds of the office to the shop. They started screaming fire, and within a matter of seconds, it was out of control. Noel stayed until he was sure everyone was out. I wasn't the smartest about it, Noel says. When that happens, I would want someone to get me out. Or to come and get me, too. Two employees suffered burns on their hands, Fort Dodge Fire Chief Steve Hergenreder reported. One was treated on scene by Fort Dodge paramedics. The other employee was transferred by private vehicle to the emergency room at Unity Point Health. Hergenreder said the employee has since been treated and released. When firefighters arrived, flames were shooting through the roof. Captain Jeff Hill of Fort Dodge Fire Department reported that firefighters and paramedics came in two engines and an ambulance. There are no fire hydrants out here in this area, Hill said. We attacked it with all the water we bring with us in our hose lines. Hill said firefighters from Barnum and Badger and Clare brought tanker trucks and engines. Once we ran out of water, we switched over to their tanker trucks to supply it with water. And they shuttled water back and forth from a city hydrant at the corner of Highway 169 and Highway 7. Once the fire calmed down later in the day, evacuators and other heavy machinery were being used to sift through the rubble. The initial investigation into the cause indicates the fire started after an employee used a cutting torch that ignited vapors from gasoline, Hergenreder reported. 9 Fort Dodge firefighters responded to the initial call. 11 off-duty firefighters were called to cover the fire station, Hill said. Another 20 firefighters from Clare, Barnum, and Badger responded. The Fort Dodge Police Department, Webster County Sheriff's Deputies, Iowa State Patrol, Webster County Emergency Management, and Mid-American Energy Company were also called to the area. While Reese was thankful that no one was seriously hurt, she said it's difficult to put a value on a business she and her husband worked so hard to build up. You can't put a value on a business that we built from very little to what it is now, Reese said. It means more to us than a number value. Mike and Danny Reese have owned the Mid-Iowa Towing since 2010. They purchased the business from Mike Reese's parents, Roger Reese and Karen Reese, who had owned it since 1980. We started with 3 trucks, Danny Reese said. 10 years later, we have 11 trucks and 10 employees. Mid-Iowa Towing currently provides towing service for the city of Fort Dodge. Danny Reese fully anticipates a business rebounding from the setback. One thing at a time, she says. We may have been pushed, but we didn't get knocked down. We are still going to keep going. It's what we do.
And next, Eilers takes on higher duty, Fort Dodge judge. This is by Elijah Deaches. Judge Paul B. Eilers, a former district court judge from Fort Dodge, was sworn in as the 33rd judge on the Iowa Court of Appeals Friday. Eilers joins the 9-judge panel as Governor Kim Reynolds' 4th appointment to the appellate court, just a step below the Iowa Supreme Court. Appointed November 26, Eilers has already been putting what his jurist peers praised as a brilliant legal mind to work. Eilers is meant for the court, and they're going to find the reverse is true as well, said Judge Patrick Carr, senior judge on the Iowa Court of Appeals, and formerly the 3rd Judicial District. Calling him a legal machine, a longtime attorney friend of Eilers made a point of pride for the new appellate judge prominent at his investiture inside the Iowa Supreme Court. I suspect he's one of the few lawyers in the entire state that reads every decision of the Supreme Court and the Court of Appeals each month, every single one. And he's been doing this for about 2 decades, said Aaron Oliver. He's the go-to lawyer for case law updates. From judges and attorneys alike, Eilers was praised for his extensive resume, sharp scholarly mind, versatile proficiency in both criminal and civil law, and grounding sense of humor. I read Eilers' application, Carr said, joking about its length. I began skimming through the list of accomplishments. And while Carr said Eilers is often the smartest man in the room, his career was not one of an opportunist checking off the boxes as he climbed the court's ladder. If he did something in his past, he didn't do it so he could sit here today, Carr said. He saw his obligation to the profession, and he executed it. A 1991 finance graduate of Iowa State University, a 1994 law school graduate from the University of Iowa, Eilers practiced privately at firms in Spencer, Fort Dodge, and Webster City. Before serving as claim counsel for Travelers Insurance Company in St. Paul, Minnesota. In 2011, Eilers took the bench in Fort Dodge, covering a district of 13 counties. As I got further into practice and gained experience, I felt I have the skill set and temperament to be a good judge, Eilers told the Messenger in a previous interview, explaining that he felt an obligation to put his legal talent to work for the court. We have an obligation to apply for those spots in the judicial system, he explained. If people fit for the duty do not, Eilers said, the less qualified will take their place. After getting through the judicial application process 3 times in the last year, he thanked his long-suffering family for their support on the path to this point. I'm a better person today for having had you in my life, he said to his children, Kate and Ben, after they assisted in his robing, thanking them for the lessons they've taught him. Katie Eilers is a senior in dietetics at Iowa State University preparing for medical school. Ben Eilers, a graduate of the University of Michigan, is an actor in New York City. Judge Eilers credited his mother for introducing him to the legal profession as a legal secretary for a law firm in Spencer, the first firm he worked at after he graduated from law school. I never thought, growing up as a regular kid in rural northwestern Iowa, the son of a farmer and a legal secretary, that one day I'd end up here, he said. I consider myself truly blessed. Eilers fills the vacancy on the appellate court left by Judge Amanda Potterfield. Eilers will continue to live in Fort Dodge as he works in Des Moines.
And this is an article by Hans Mattson about the Special Olympics that was held yesterday. Students get to show off basketball skills. About 100 students from more than a dozen schools in the area dribbled, shot, and passed their way into championship status Friday afternoon at the Iowa Special Olympics 2020 North Central Basketball Skills Tournament at Butler Elementary School. The tournament had been postponed one day due to the extreme wind chills on Thursday, but neither the delay or the weather did anything to cool off the enthusiasm. After Joshua Noe, 14, a seventh grader at Storm Lake Middle School, carried the traditional torch around the gym with the athletes following him, they got down to competition. Morgan Cox, 21, is competing as an adult. She said she enjoys the time with friends and family, learning new things, that basketball is one of her favorite sports. Her mom, Beth Cox, was cheering from the sidelines. It's just fun watching them compete, Beth Cox said. It's a big day for the kids. For her daughter, coming back to compete also gave her a chance to reconnect with her teachers from the Fort Dodge Community School District and friends from her school days as well. Liz Rusher, co-area director for Special Olympics of Iowa, said the Blue Ribbon winners Friday would go on to compete later at the state competition. Participation offers the students many benefits. They really look forward to this, Rusher said. They love Special Olympics. They're proud of their ribbons. It helps with self-esteem and gives them a chance to form relationships with kids from other schools. Running a basketball tournament requires a lot of volunteers. Many of those who help out, like Alora Fierke, 17, are students at the Fort Dodge Senior High. It makes me feel really happy to help, Fierke said. I love working with the kids. It makes you feel blessed. They give it all.
And next, the Messenger poll. Are you concerned that Iowa might lose its first in the nation status in the presidential nominating process? You can vote at messengernews.net. And now this date in history. Today is Saturday, February 15th, the 46th day of 2020. There are 320 days left in the year. Today's highlight, on February 15, 1898, the U.S. battleship Maine mysteriously blew up in Havana Harbor, killing more than 260 crew members and bringing the United States closer to war with Spain. In 1879, on this date, President Rutherford B. Hayes signed a bill allowing female attorneys to argue cases before the Supreme Court. In 2018, the last of the bodies of the 17 victims of a school shooting in Florida were removed from the building after authorities analyzed the crime scene. 13 wounded survivors were still hospitalized. In response to the Florida school shooting, President Donald Trump, in an address to the nation, promised to tackle the difficult issue of mental health, but avoided any mention of guns. Nicholas Cruz, the suspect in the shooting at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, was ordered held without bond at a brief court hearing. 10 years ago, 18 people were killed when two trains collided south of Brussels, Belgium. 5 years ago, a video purporting to show the mass beheading of Egyptian Coptic Christian hostages was released by militants in Libya, affiliated with the Islamic State group. 1 year ago, socialite Lee Radziwill, a stylish jet setter who was a sister of Jacqueline Kennedy, died at the age of 85. And the thought for today, like all dreamers, I confuse disenchantment with truth. That was Jean-Paul Sartre, French philosopher, 1905 to 1980.
Now to the community calendar. Fort Dodge Writers Workshop, Section 1, is 9 to 11 a.m. at the Fort Dodge Public Library. Allen O Club is 9:30 a.m. the women's meeting, 12 North 7th Street. Aglo International is 10 a.m. Fort Dodge Public Library. The speaker is Elaine Johnston, and refreshments are provided. And Sister Saturday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. downtown Fort Dodge businesses. Bets Off Gamblers Anonymous is 10:30 to 11:30 a.m. Community and Family Resources, 726 South 17th Street. KYL Movie for Kids, 10:30 a.m. to noon, Kendall Young Library in Webster City. The movie is Happy Feet 2. Blandon Memorial Art Museum, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. The admission is free. Fort Dodge Writers Workshop, Section 3, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Fort Dodge Public Library. A.A. Allen Club, noon and 7 p.m. at 12 North 7th Street. Manson Meridian Singers, Sing On. Doors open at 6:45 p.m. Performance starts at 7:15 p.m. Kate Tobin Auditorium in Manson Northwest Webster High School in Manson. Tickets are $10 for adults and $7 for students and will be available at the door. AA Non-Smoking Club, 6:30 to 7:30, Trinity Regional Medical Center, second floor, conference room 2B. And River Valley Rockhound Club, 7 p.m., United Way Community Room, 803 Central Avenue. NA Narcotics Anonymous, 7 to 8 p.m. at the Shalom Center, 501 North 12th Street. And Day Drinkers Performance, 7 to 9 p.m. at River Hops Brewing, 1014 Central Avenue. There's one announcement. It's the Women of Epworth U.M. Church. It must be Epworth United Methodist Church. Baked Potato Bar. It's Sunday, February 16th at 11:30 a.m. A free will offering. And that is at 2025 11th Avenue South. Carryouts available. The public is welcome. Welcome. And you can call 573-4415.
And next is the Messenger editorial. Citizens must do what they can to support law enforcement officers. Those who protect us have been targets of attacks. Within just a few days, four police officers, two in New York City and two in Forest City, Arkansas, were shot by gunmen. A grim fact of life for law enforcement personnel is that by the time you read this, it may be outdated. Attacks on police officers and sheriff's deputies have become all too common. Thankfully, all four of the wounded officers are expected to recover. The New York City gunman surrendered after emptying his pistol in a police station. In Arkansas, officers responding to a report of a man making threats at a Walmart store killed the assailant who wounded them. The brave men and women who enforce our laws are supposed to be able to worry about protecting us, not whether they are targets. Already this year, 16 of them have died in the line of duty. Six of them were shot to death, with 10 others perishing from other causes, including vehicle accidents. A significant number of law enforcement personnel killed on duty during the past few years have been victims of assailants who set out to shoot police officers. That was to blame in New York City, it has been reported. A motive for the Arkansas deaths has not yet been reported. What can those of us being served and protected do about attacks on officers, deputies, and troopers? Not much. Identifying those with grudges so intense they turn to violence is virtually impossible. Making it clear the vast majority of us support law enforcement personnel makes no impression on a sick mind, though it certainly cannot hurt. We can help watch their backs, of course, tipping them off when we feel they may be in danger. And we can do all in our power to ensure they have protective gear such as bullet-resistant vests. Finally, we can protest sentencing reform movements that allow dangerous people to stay on the street or get back out after two short prison terms. The New York gunman had a lengthy criminal record, including a 2002 carjacking in which he shot at police and a prison term ending in 2017 on an attempted murder conviction. There really is little we can do to assure those who serve and protect that we are on their side. Clearly, however, we simply must do what we can.
Mm-hmm. Here's a few brief articles. One that takes place in Spencer. Firefighters battling flames inside a house find a body. Firefighters battling flames at a house fire in northwest Iowa have found a body. The blaze was reported a little after 8 a.m. Thursday in Spencer. Flames were visible when firefighters arrived, they said. They found the body inside the house. The person's name hasn't been released. An autopsy was ordered. The fire cause is being investigated. And a man convicted of beating to death his girlfriend's son in Iowa. That takes place in Davenport. A man was convicted of the Iowa beating death of a 5-year-old son of his girlfriend, a woman who testified against him and who is also awaiting, she is also awaiting sentencing. A jury in Davenport found Trey Henderson guilty Thursday of first-degree murder and other crimes. The 28-year-old will be sentenced April 1st to life in prison without possibility of parole. Prosecutors said little Jashawn Brussel had 17 broken ribs, damage to a number of internal organs and bruises from the top of his head to his ankles. After Henderson beat him on April 22nd, LaShawn vomited several times over the next 4 days before being taken to the hospital, court records say. He was taken off life support and died May 1st, records say. Henderson and the boy's mother, Jacqueline Rambert, are both from Chicago and are living in Davenport apartment when the boy was assaulted, authorities have said. Davenport is about 160 miles west of Chicago. In addition to the murder counts, both are charged with child endangerment for failing to seek prompt medical attention for the boy. Rambert, 26, pleaded guilty last month to child endangerment resulting in death and child endangerment multiple acts and agreed to testify against Henderson. She said on the witness stand that Henderson had beaten her son more than once. Prosecutors have said they will dismiss her murder charge when she is sentenced on March 20th.
And Anita, Iowa, a Western Iowa woman is accused of killing an 11-week-old baby at her daycare by shaking her. Cass County court records say Allison Dorsey, 36, of Anita, was arrested Thursday and charged with first-degree murder and child endangerment resulting in death. She remained in Cass County jail on Friday. Her attorney didn't immediately return a call from the Associated Press. Authorities have said the child died October 8 at an Omaha, Nebraska hospital from internal brain bleeding, a condition commonly described as shaken baby syndrome. And next is the Iowa District Court to pay $4.8 million to settle a suit in a school bus fire. A Western Iowa school district will pay $4.8 million to settle a lawsuit brought by the family of a 16-year-old girl who died in a 2017 school bus fire that also killed the bus driver. Riverside Community School District reached the settlement earlier this week with the family of Megan Clint, who died when the bus became stuck in a ditch, leading to a fire in the engine compartment that spread to the passenger compartment. The fire also killed driver Donnie Hendricks, 74. Clint's family sued for negligence and wrongful death in 2018, saying the district knew Hendricks was in poor health and still allowed him to drive the bus. Trial in that lawsuit was scheduled to start March 3rd in Pottawatomie County District Court. An attorney for the school district had declined to reveal the amount of the settlement, saying the details were confidential. But the Iowa Freedom of Information Council released the agreement, saying under Iowa's public records law, such settlements must be made public. The agreement shows that two of the district's insurers will split payment of the settlement. The district did not admit to any liability. You're listening to the Fort Dodge Messenger on IRIS, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the Blind and Print Disabled. The Messenger can be heard daily at 8 o'clock a.m. and 3 o'clock p.m. And now we turn to today's obituaries.
The first obituary is Mary Saturn Manson. Mary Saturn, 76, formerly of Manson, died at the Boone County Hospital in Boone on Thursday, February 13, 2020. Services will be held on Monday, February 17 at 10:30 a.m. at Larson Weisar Funeral Home in Manson, with visitation from 9 a.m. until service time. And next is Marguerite L. Crotty, Pocahontas. Marguerite L. Crotty, 94, of Atlantic, Iowa, formerly of Pocahontas, passed away on Thursday, February 13, 2020, at the Heritage House in Atlantic, Iowa. Funeral services will be 10:30 a.m. Friday, February 21, 2020, at the Resurrection of Our Lord Catholic Church in Pocahontas, Iowa, with Father Craig Collison and Father Eugene Murray officiating. Burial will follow at the Calvary Cemetery in Pocahontas, Iowa. Visitation is from 4 to 7 p.m. on Thursday, February 20th, 2020, at the Powers Funeral Home in Pocahontas, Iowa. A vigil service will be at 7 p.m. Thursday at the funeral home. Powers Funeral Home in Pocahontas, Iowa is handling the arrangements. For online condolences and obituaries, visit powersfh.net. Oh, and there's an announcement from Gunderson's. Phil Martinson, 11 a.m. Saturday at Tompkins Celebration Center, Friendship Haven. Visitation is 10 to 11 a.m. on Saturday at Tompkins Celebration Center, Friendship Haven.
And next, Pastor M. Comes to St. Olaf by Hans Madsen. The Reverend Emily Sawyer, the new pastor at St. Olaf Lutheran Church, usually goes by a less formal name. It's even on her desk, spelled out in Scrabble letters, glued to a Scrabble tile holder that welcomes visitors to her office. Pastor M., the little sign reads. She wasn't really looking for a new church. She was happy and comfortable at American Lutheran Church in Bourbonnais, Illinois. She was sole pastor there for 7 years. I was serving as interim pastor at First Lutheran in Algona, Sawyer said. I met Pastor Dave Grinberg, and he casually mentioned that St. Olaf is open and would you consider it? I was not looking to move, she said. It wasn't the plan. Once she considered it, it seemed right. There was that sense of peace that it was God's will, she said. She doesn't plan on making any major changes. She wants the congregation to get to know her and her chance to know them. She already feels very much at home. "These are some of the most warm, loving people you'll ever meet," she said. "I drove here in an ice storm, and when I got here, they were all outside cheering. They love the Lord. They love this church. There's a spirit of grace and love here." Sawyer felt the call to the ministry in her youth. "Church has always been an important part of my life," she said. "Our family, we had our favorite pew. In my junior year, I felt the calling during a regular Sunday sermon. That moment, I felt the Spirit calling." She was supported by both her minister and her family. "It took me about a year to solidify going," she said. "When God calls, it keeps coming back." She attended the Chicago Lutheran School of Theology. She was ordained on August 19, 2007. Her first church straight out of seminary was at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Mason City. "I learned by fire," she said. "I had many moments where I said, what did I get myself into? God's will said to stick this out. Along with that came peace." Sawyer has two children, Andrew Harrell, 10, and Rachel Harrell, 7. There's also Olive. "She's our dumpster kitty," Sawyer said. "The canine side of the pet equation is represented by Ginger, a 2-year-old chihuahua. Sawyer will be installed at St. Olaf, 239 North 11th Street at 10 a.m. Sunday. There will be a potluck to follow. The public is welcome to attend and welcome her to the community.
And some brief announcements. The Women of Epworth United Methodist Church Baked Potato Bar is Sunday. The Women of Epworth United Methodist Church are serving a baked potato bar at 11:30 a.m. Sunday at the church at 2025 11th Avenue South. The menu is a baked potato and array of different toppings, along with a beverage for a free will offering. Carryouts will be available, and the church is handicapped accessible. Proceeds will be used for the church ministry. And another announcement, Do You Believe in Miracles? It's going to be held on Sunday and Monday. Holy Trinity Catholic Parish is sponsoring Do You Believe in Miracles with Tim Francis from 3 to 5:30 p.m. on Sunday and 6:30 to 9 p.m. on Monday in the St. Edmund High School Auditorium at 501 North 22nd Street. From altar boy to party boy, from non-denominational mega church back to the Roman Catholic Church, Francis will share his quest for truth. He will speak about Eucharistic miracles, a woman, anastigmatis, and much more. And Our Savior's Lutheran Church Pork Loin Dinner is February 23rd. That's in calendar. Our Savior's Lutheran Church in calendar is holding a grilled pork loin dinner from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on February 23rd at the church. The menu is grilled pork loin, potato salad, baked beans, a bun, dessert, and drink for a free will offering. Carryouts will be available and proceeds go toward building upgrades. And St. Mark's Shrove Tuesday Pancake Supper is February 25th. St. Mark's Episcopal Church, 1007 First Avenue South, is holding a Shrove Tuesday Pancake Supper from 4:30 to 7 p.m. on February 25th. The menu is all-you-can-eat pancakes and sausage served with milk, juice, and coffee. Tickets are $5 per person, with children 10 years and under free. Takeouts will be available.
And now we'll move on to the sports. Crunch Time by Chris Johnson. 7 Fort Dodge seniors are looking to end the chapter of their high school careers with state tournament bids on Saturday, as they will wrestle for the final time in front of a home crowd. The Dodgers will host a Class 3A district meet inside the Dodger Gym beginning at noon. Joining third-ranked Fort Dodge will be 9th-ranked Mason City, Lamar, Sioux City East, Sioux City North, Sioux City West, Spencer, and Storm Lake. "We have great leaders with seniors, as well as our underclassmen," said Fort Dodge head coach Bobby Thompson. "The kids are excited to be wrestling at home and with the chance to go to state." seniors Carson Taylor, Brooks Cowell, and Savion Weed all qualified last year. Taylor and Cowell are two-time qualifiers. Classmates Austin Lee and Levi Egley were in Des Moines as sophomores. Brandon Mills and Colton Munter are looking for their first trip. Taylor, ranked second, is a returning state champion. Cowell was fourth a year ago and a qualifier as a freshman. Egley placed fifth in 2018. Taylor also took fifth as a sophomore. With the three returning seniors, seventh-ranked junior Lane Cowell, number one junior and returning state championship Drake Ayala, second-ranked junior Dresden Phillips, and junior Cody Cook were all 2019 state qualifiers as well. 14-ranked wrestlers will be in the field with five potential rated finals matchups. The 126-pound bracket is the one to watch, with top-ranked Cullen Shriver and Fort Dodge's second-ranked Taylor on a potential collision course. Taylor has a career record of 117-17 and is 15th on Fort Dodge's all-time win list. Carson is at the top level with any of these guys, Thompson said. He just keeps grinding and doing what he needs to do. Every weight class has two or three good kids, which means someone is not going to state, Thompson said. There will be some great matches in the finals, especially. Shriver, a University of Iowa recruit, and Taylor, a Grandview recruit, met in last year's 120-pound state semifinal. Shriver, who was dealing with a shoulder injury at the time, defaulted in the first period. Taylor went on to claim the state's title as a number five seed with a 13-8 victory over Iowa City West, third-seeded Hunter Garvin. Cullen and his twin brother, Colby, are returning to the mat after recovering from injuries. Cullen has been out with a dislocated shoulder. Colby, also a Hawkeye recruit, is joined by Mills in the 145-pound bracket. Egley and Storm Lake's ninth-ranked senior, Colton Dreith, will be at 195. Mason City's fifth-rated Jace Rhodes and Lane Cowell are at 113. Spencer's Isaiah Spencer and Lamar's Jake French and Small are rated 8th and 9th, respectively, at 160. Ayala, who ranked number one in the nation at 120 pounds, has lofty goals for the Dodgers as well. The junior, who is 126-2 in his career and 11th on the Dodgers' all-time win list, has reached two straight state finals in as many seasons. Drake is a great leader, Thompson said. After practice, he was in postseason mode, getting his right mindset. He was looking at the brackets and other things, doing what he needed to do to prepare for what's ahead. You could see his mentality was changing.
And next, there's an article about the Dodger bowling. Fort Dodge boys win CIML Iowa title. By Eric Pratt. The Fort Dodge boys took a regular season of frustration out on the CIML Iowa Conference held Friday at Ridgewood Lanes as the host Dodgers secured the championship to avenge a winless league dual campaign. Spearheaded by Jaden Ray's runner-up performance and Caleb Anderson's bronze medal effort, Fort Dodge took the title with 3,042 points team score. Southeast Polk had 2,960, was second, and Marshalltown, 2,911, claimed third. On the girls' side, the regular season champion Dodgers placed third, just behind Marshalltown and Waukee. Defending state queen Leah Sank was fourth, and sophomore Alexis Kenny took seventh. Ray, a sophomore, rolled games of 252 and 223 for a 475 series total. Anderson, a junior, had a 258 and a 213 for a 471 score. The boys finally put it all together, which is what we knew they'd been capable of all year, Fort Dodge head coach Nick Vinson said. We've had a lot of close dual losses, including four by less than 90 pins against CIML Iowa opponents. So it was great to see the guys break through and build some momentum heading into districts. Jaden had a great day, but he's been steady for us all season long. And Caleb did what Caleb does. I think it means a lot to these kids mentally that they were able to see their potential. Posting that score was big for their confidence. We knew they had it in them. Freshman Carson Werning and senior Trey Preston were also in the top 10 for the Dodgers. Carson and Trey have a lot of potential, Vincent said. Carson's getting back in the range of where he can be on a regular basis because he has a lot of talent, and Trey's rounding back into form after rejoining the squad mid-season. To have four kids in the top 10 was really big for our program. David Folsom and Brady Graves were in the top 30 as well. Sank, a senior, bowled a 236, a 173, for a 409, and Kenny turned in a 190 and a 171 for a 361. The girls were so close, Vincent said. It was kind of the opposite for the boys. We didn't have a great day in singles on the girls' side, but we really came on in Baker's. Fort Dodge had a tourney best 968 in the Baker competition. It just wasn't quite enough, but we got within almost 40 points of the top. Leah did well, and Alexis is really hitting her stride, which is terrific to see. Senior Kat Flores was solid, and both Alyssa Lumpston and sophomore Lexi Hansen improved. They did really well in Baker's. We're right there. Fort Dodge's state qualifying meet is Tuesday in Lamar's.
And next, Lucina leads Gales in finale. Anthony Lucina had a career-high 21 points, and Hayden Mayer added 15 as the St. Edmund boys defeated Peyton Sherdan to close out the regular season on Friday, 69-49. The Gales, 7-13 overall, won for the third time in four games, heading into next week's Class 1A District 2 quarterfinal. St. Edmund led by only 5 points heading into the fourth quarter, but pulled away by outscoring the Rockets 5-16 by a 19-4 count. The rest of that doesn't make sense, does it? Let's see. We really picked up the defensive intensity late and got some runouts to extend the lead, Gale head coach Adolph Kochendorfer said. You never really know how you're going to react when you step away from North Central Conference play this late in the season. And it took us a while to get going, but the kids got after it and finished strong. It's good to have this type of effort heading into postseason action. Lucina and Mayer led four St. Edmund High School players in double figures. Connor Bakken added 12 and Drew Schaefer contributed 11. Anthony has really earned his minutes, Kochendorfer said. We could see early on that even when his shot isn't falling, he's going to defend and rebound for us. He's been getting after it lately, and he's getting a better feel for the game. It's coming more natural to him, and his confidence growing. Hayden missed 3 games with a concussion, so he's been a little rusty. It's great to see him rounding back into form. We found him in transition a few times, and he worked the baseline well against their zone. Peyton Sherdan scored a bucket to open the final frame and pull within a single possession, but St. Edmund tallied 19 of the contest's final 21 points. The Gaels opened district play on Thursday in Algona against Grettinger, Terrell, Ruthven, Ayrshire. Tip is set for 6:30 p.m.
And in Dodgers basketball, the Dodgers lose to Mason City. Fighting injury and illness, the Fort Dodge boys basketball team was no match for Mason City on Friday. The Dodgers dropped a 78-44 road decision to the Mohawks. Our team is pretty beat up right now. We have a lot of guys who are sick, Fort Dodge Senior High head coach Tom Daniel said. We looked really sluggish. The defense in particular was awful in the first half, giving up 46 points. They beat us a lot in transition. We were just a step or two slow and played flat. It got away from us in the second quarter, and we started forcing shots. It snowballed from there. Mason City really played well, but it's not acceptable to lose like this in a rivalry game. Junior Dayson Clayton finished with 13 points for the Dodgers. Tyson Kershaw, the program's leading scorer, added 9 before getting sick at halftime and leaving midway through the third quarter with an illness. Fort Dodge trailed just 24-17 at the end of the first quarter, but it was 46-23 by halftime. After an even third period, the Mohawks pulled away with 16-6 fourth quarter advantage. We just have to weather the storm, Daniel said. We have to get healthy and ready for the playoffs. Mason City is now 7-11 overall, but 5-5 since January 13th, with 2 victories over both Fort Dodge Senior High and Marshalltown. Corey Miner had 13 for the Mohawks, while Jeffrey Scogan added 12 and Carter Thomas 11. The Dodgers close the regular season on Tuesday against top-ranked Ankeny Centennial at home. Fort Dodge received its Class 4A Substate 1 assignment on Friday. The Dodgers will face Sioux City West, who is 9-10. They'll face them on the road on Monday, February 24th. The winner heads to Ankeny, who is 14-5, for the Substate final.
And now, Graves Paces Jaguars. Gowrie, the Southeast Valley boys basketball team, defeated Ogden 61-52 on Friday night. Aaron Graves led the Jaguars with a double-double. Graves had 18 points and 14 rebounds. Colson Cruz had 15 points and Chase Swider added 10. Griffin Diggs had 18 points for Ogden. And the Gaels JV boys win on the road. The St. Edmund Junior Varsity boys basketball team defeated Peyton Sherdan 74-55 on Friday night. Noah Simpson led the way with 15 points. Zach Smith added 11. And Ethan Larson had 8 for the Gaels, who finished the season 11-8.
And Iowa Central softball, they played in Enid, Oklahoma.
Enid?
Enid, E-N-I-D, Oklahoma. The Iowa Central softball squad was heating up in a cold weather here on Friday. The Tritons had 7 home runs, including 3 by Peyton Anderson, in a 12-2 rout of Enid in their opener. Iowa Central then finished the day with a 5-2 victory over NOC Tonkawa. Both games went 5 innings due to the time limit. Anderson blasted 3 solo shots for the Tritons in the opener. Iowa Central played at 8 runs in the 4th inning to pull away. Parker Matthews also went deep and drove in 4. Fort Dodge Senior High graduate Bree Chevin added a 2-run homer, while Mackenzie Rosenboom and Sophie Cave cleared defense as well. We came ready to play, Iowa Central Community College head coach Rick Sandquist said. It was really cold, 28 degrees at first pitch, but we came out aggressive and didn't worry about the adverse conditions. We take a lot of pride in the mental aspects of the game. If you're the mentally tougher team, you're already up 1-0. There's no sense in whining about the weather. Both teams are playing in it. Caleb Wookie tossed a 4 perfect innings before surrendering 2 runs in the fifth. The Tritons used 20 players in the contest. Fort Dodge Senior High graduate Maggie Harvey went deep in a nightcap. Anderson was 2 for 2, and Matthews contributed 2 hits as well. Abby DeJondo earned the complete game victory, shattering 7 hits in her 5 innings. We did a lot of good things, Sandquist said. Kayla and Abby pitched well. Peyton and Parker obviously had big days at the plate, but we used everyone and got positive contributions from a lot of different players. Iowa Central faces the same 2 squads here on Saturday at 9 and 11 a.m.
Next, Dodgers fall to Mohawks. The Fort Dodge girls basketball team dropped a 70-41 decision to Mason City on Friday night. The Dodgers, 7-14 overall, 2-8 CIML Iowa Conference, couldn't get anything going in the first half as they trailed 39-20 heading into the locker room. Aaliyah Palmer led the Dodgers with 10 points, while Jalen Adams had 8 and Haley Wills chipped in with 7 points. Jada Whitner led the Mohawks with 22 points and Anna Dietz added 17 points. We struggled defending Whitner and Dietz, said Fort Dodge head coach Scott Messerly. We just couldn't get any offensive rhythm going. Mason City swept the season series with the Dodgers, beating Fort Dodge 59-47 in the Dodger Gym. The Dodgers open postseason play next Saturday when they travel to Waukee. The Warriors are ranked 4th and beat the Dodgers 82-29 and 70-26.
Well, I think we're through the messenger paper for today. That brings us to the extended weather report, and it looks pretty nice for a February week. On today, mostly cloudy, be high around 37 and low down to 17. And tomorrow, mostly cloudy, high around 36 and low just down to 25. Monday is cloudy day, high around 39 and low down to 15. Tuesday is mostly sunny, high around 25 and low down to 4. Wednesday, a mostly sunny day again, high around 19, low around 5. Thursday is sunny, high around 33 and low down to 13. And next Friday is sunny, high around 40 and low around 24.
And now we will read from the Business Connection for January 2020 regarding Dan Kinney, the president of Iowa Central. It's an article in the magazine Business Connection. They ask Dr. Dan Kinney, please tell us a little about yourself and the role you have had for the previous year with the Greater Fort Dodge Growth Alliance. And Kinney responds, during this past year, I've been honored to serve as the Growth Alliance's board president. As the president of Iowa Central, I work directly to assist our region with the workforce issues that we face. Being in both roles has really allowed me to see additional issues our region and state face related to the need for highly skilled and trained workers and matching those we train with the high demand jobs that are currently available. Any spare time I have, you will catch me at my daughter's activities or watching the Tritons play. The next question, what do you feel is the biggest accomplishment you've seen during your time as the Growth Alliance's board president? And Dr. Kinney's response, what I see as the biggest accomplishment is the partnership that we both have within our community. Community colleges across the nation are key to the economic growth. In talking with my colleagues, they are surprised and jealous of how well our whole region works together. They share with me that this isn't normal within the communities they serve. Our community truly has a transparent and collaborative approach to working together to make our community and region better. And the next question, where have you seen the most growth in the community over the last year? Kenny's response, I believe the most growth I have seen over this last year has to be with the way we are tackling the affordable housing crisis we face. We have seen several new projects that include every level of housing to help us continue to attract workforce to our region. Our community we serve continues to improve the quality of life for our residents. That includes looking at expanded retail shopping. I believe the project with the mall is an amazing opportunity that will allow us to continue to attract new residents to our region. I hear from the students that attend the college that they love the area and hope to have the ability to find a job and stay in our region. Finally, this past year, we have continued to grow partnerships within our area communities and with our educational partners. Both K through 12, public and private, to Iowa Central and Buena Vista University, nobody has to leave our community to get a quality education, and that starts with preschool and ends with a college degree. I know I might be biased, but we have the best educational system for our residents throughout the 9 counties Iowa Central serves. And the final question. What do you hope to see or continue to see happen in the Fort Dodge region over the next year? And Dr. Kinney's response, the next issue we must address is the child care need. Our community is already in full force with planning, and we cannot let that stop. We must work with our local legislators to help address this need. Many believe it is unique to our region, but it isn't, and I believe we are on the right track to address this need. Our region is strong, and that is because of our partnerships. So we must continue to work together, and we will continue to be a wonderful community to raise our family. Well, that brings us to the end of today's reading of the Fort Dodge Messenger. All material, heard on IRIS is intended solely for the use of the blind and print disabled. If you have any questions or comments about our program, you can give us a call at 515-243-6833 or visit us on the web at iowaradioreading.org. We thank French Pavin for giving IRIS a home in Fort Dodge, and we thank you all for listening to IRIS, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the Blind and Print Handicapped. Wishing you all a dream to bless and a star to guide. Have a great weekend, everyone.